This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, Monday is the enrollment deadline for millions of Americans who wish to sign up for health care insurance, according to President Obama's landmark Health Care Reform Act. And those who don't begin the process by Monday face a tax penalty, which is just one of the thousands of details in the massive Affordable Care Act. The ACA has been bogged down of late in controversy over the disastrous rollout of healthcare.gov and enrollment numbers not quite hitting the expected mark. But our next guest says that in the next decade, so-called Obamacare is going to bring even more massive, perhaps unimaginable change to the American healthcare system, and he welcomes it. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel was a White House special advisor from 2009 to 2011. He's one of the architects of the ACA. He's also vice provost for global initiatives and chair of the Department of Medical Ethics and Health Policy at the University of Pennsylvania. His new book is Reinventing American Healthcare: How the Affordable Care Act Will Improve Our Terribly Complex, Blatantly Unjust, Outrageously Expensive, Grossly Inefficient, Error-Prone System. He's not a man to mince words. And yes, he's also of the Chicago Emanuel family, and his brother is former White House Chief of Staff and current mayor of the Windy City, Rahm Emanuel. Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel is here with us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's a great pleasure and honor to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Now, you know, we could spend our entire time talking about the ACA's past year or so, and I'm sure many other programs, we've done it on Radio Boston, and many other programs will continue to do so.
Easy fodder.
But I would actually like to spend our time together talking about these big changes that you say are going to come to the American healthcare system as a result of so-called Obamacare. And you make some bold assertions in the book. Like, first of all, that you believe the end of employer-sponsored insurance is nigh. Why?
Well, actually, it's bad to make that claim in Massachusetts.
Exactly.
Because you guys started an exchange, and the consequence was not the end of employer-based insurance, but in fact, a growth of employer-based insurance, because a lot of workers said, hey, I got to get insurance, and went to their employer and said, you got to offer me insurance. But I make the following point. I work at the University of Pennsylvania. They give me health insurance. There's no mandate. There's no penalty if they don't do it. So why do they do it? They do it because they have to attract good employees, and good employees would find it much harder on their own to get insurance, and the university can pool all of us, get a cheaper rate. It's much more efficient. And plus, I get a tax advantage that way. Well, if there's an exchange and the exchange is working well and there's good options, the question is, wouldn't I prefer to be in the exchange than to have the one, or actually at UPenn, it's two choices mm-hmm. I get for health insurance, whereas I could have about 20 choices in Pennsylvania. And by the way, the university would give me a pay raise, or might give me a voucher to pay its portion, and I would have more choice, and I would decide how much health care insurance I want. As I said, you know, that's the future I think might evolve. The best argument against me is Massachusetts. It's like, you're an idiot, Zeke. The one example we have doesn't show that you're right.
Yeah.
So I take that criticism.
Well, I mean, so the reality check that is Massachusetts is one thing. But I want to ask you why you think, or if you think, that say what you're prognosticating actually does happen nationally. And, you know, like some very big employers say, we're going to do this. We're going to give you extra money instead. You have full choice over who you want your insurer to be. Go on the exchanges and make it so. I mean, if that were to happen, do you think that's better overall for individual Americans than the system we have now?
Yes, I do think it's better for the following three reasons. First of all, it gets rid of job lock, gets rid of you staying with your insurer artificially because your insurer, your employer artificially because that employer gives you good insurance and you like that insurance. Second, as I mentioned, it does give people a lot more choice than they have now. Choice at the four different metal levels. Do they want a bare bones bronze plan, or do they want the platinum plan? And the last thing I think it does is it stabilizes the exchange with lots of people in it, and it will drive prices down and force the healthcare companies and as well as hospitals and doctors to be more efficient, to really think much more concretely about how do we deliver high quality care for a low cost. One of the problems of the American healthcare system, and we have to remember, it's not like we got this ideal system we all really, really love, is that it is not efficient. People are not thinking about how can we deliver the best quality care for the lowest price. And, by and large, we have felt frustrated by how the system has been run. Right. So one question is, could this actually induce better care?
We'll see if indeed that is the case. I mean, this is one sort of sub-issue we could spend ages talking about. So I want to move on to a couple of your other sort of visions for the future. But before I do that, there's one little question I have about this. And I was thinking about this vis-a-vis like my own healthcare, that as an employee of WBUR, I'm actually technically employee of Boston University. So similar situation as you. And there are many thousands of BU employees. And I might not be fully understanding this correctly, but my presumption was always that that allowed a big employer like BU to have some pretty serious bargaining power when it came to negotiating with the insurers that it's going to work with about, you know, getting a good price and decent coverage, et cetera. Wouldn't I lose that bargaining power as an individual on the exchanges?
Oh, quite the contrary. The exchange will have the most bargaining power because you, most Americans who want to buy on the exchange, premium and a low combination of deductibles and copays are their most important consideration. And so they would be communicating to the insurers, we want low prices and high quality. That's the best bargaining power. And point of fact, BU does have bargaining power, but it also lacks bargaining power in the following way. They have thousands of employees. They all have different doctors. They have different preferences for hospitals. And the consequence is that you need a very broad network. And when you have a very broad network, it actually drives the prices, network of doctors and hospitals, it drives the prices up. Mm-hmm. So while they technically have a lot of bargaining power, in actuality, they're actually constrained in how they can use it because they don't want to have a lot of disgruntled employees who say, oh, my hospital, it's not in the network, and I'm really upset. And the consequence is they go to the insurer and say, all right, put that one right in the network too.
Yeah.
So the answer is you will probably have much more bargaining power in the exchange, ironically enough.
I'm breaking my own promise and spending a lot of time on this, but it's interesting because this is one issue in which you're possibly closer to some of President Obama's fiercest critics, you know, who would love individuals to have more choice and power over their health care, you know, a voucher system per se, than most Democrats do.
Right. And, well, I say this. One of the reasons the Republicans keep talking about repeal and replace, and one of the things I point out is they've never been able to get a replace idea that lasts more than 24 hours. The latest one by Senators Coburn, Hatch, and Burr lasted exactly 24 hours, and you haven't heard from it again. No one says, oh, we should really consider that proposal. And the reason there's no Republican alternative, their alternative is the Affordable Care Act. It's the thing they should actually like. It's a market-based system. You've got competing insurance companies. It provides incentives both to consumers to be prudent, but also to insurers to develop high-quality, low-cost products that people like. That sounds very Republican. They ought to be embracing it. Instead, they're blinded by this ideology that they can't stand anything President Obama does. They can't stand anything the Democrats do. We just have to oppose no matter what.
Right. You know, we're running out of time here, and I was going to...
Oh, my God.
I had plans.
We just started.
I know. I was going to talk to you about the fact that you say insurance companies shall be no more in the future, and hospitals will close, but that's for the... Or many hospitals will close, but that's for the good of the overall healthcare system. Listeners, I encourage you, if you want those details, read the book, and I'll tell you what it's called again in just a second. But Dr. Emanuel, in the last minute or so that we have for you here, as I was reading your book, every single one of your sort of visions for the future and the change that the ACA may invoke in our healthcare system, I was reading them thinking these are plausible, except for the reality of two things: American politics and the American people and their stomach for change. I mean, do you think that those are two kind of two factors that are impossible to overcome when you talk about totally revolutionizing healthcare in this country?
Well, first of all, a large part of the system remains private. You know, hospitals are private, insurance companies are private, and they are on a path that started with the Affordable Care Act, but is getting its own momentum to really transform how we deliver care, and that's key. And the second thing is that I believe is going to have a life of its own, and the public is going to find out that they actually, in fact, like the system better, that there is higher quality, that they are, you know, just to take one concrete example, all of us, whether we get coverage through the exchange or not, hospitals have become safer in terms of infections. We've seen a drop in central line infections because of the Affordable Care Act, a drop in hospital readmissions, a drop in C-sections before 39 weeks. All of us benefit from that. Mm. And so I think as we go on, we're going to see that this change has actually been positive. Notice on my title, I don't say we're going to solve all the health care. The Affordable Care Act isn't going to solve every health
you
problem.
You say will improve.
Improve. But that's a low bar because the healthcare system was so dysfunctional in 2009 that we needed to reform it, but it's definitely improving it already.
Well, Ezekiel Emanuel is author of the new book, Reinventing American Healthcare, How the Affordable Care Act Will Improve Our Terribly Complex, Blatantly Unjust, Outrageously Expensive, Grossly Inefficient, and Error-Prone System. It was great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, listeners, stick with us because when we come back, we'll hear from the voice of Brazil, Luisa Maita. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.